This is 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick in Washington. After initially suggesting that the country could reopen by Easter, President Trump now says we should all get ready to stay inside for at least another month. Here with the latest and to talk about the $2 trillion aid package that was signed on Friday is Anita Kumar, White House correspondent with Politico. Anita, great to talk to you, although from a distance via Skype. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Great to have you. So initially, the president was hyping a 15-day shutdown timeline. Now his new date is April 30th, and he's warning that death rates could peak in the next 2 weeks. Where's this new information coming from? Why has the president changed his view?
Well, people around him, you know, his health advisors, public health advisors, had been sort of contradicting him and thinking that 2 weeks, the 15 days was too soon. So they presented him with a list of options this week and about a dozen options over Saturday and Sunday, where he really looked at the numbers. What could it mean if people went back to work and back into restaurants and back out in society? And he saw what the death tolls could be. And he was convinced by these public health experts that that was not the way to go. So there were a lot of people that were relieved because there were a lot of people at the White House and in the administration who thought it was way too soon for that.
Anita, I've asked this question and I ask it again. The president has his views, his pronouncements about how long social distancing should last, but these orders are given by governors, shelter in place, lockdown orders. How much power does the president really have to get people out, as he says, restart the economy?
You're exactly right. And it's one of the things I think people find most confusing. So if you're in a state, obviously people live in states, they get information from their mayors, they get information from their governors. It's governors who are really deciding businesses are to close, or you shouldn't have gatherings, or schools are closing. So it's really up to the states. And that's why we've seen this patchwork across the country. The president is really issuing guidelines, and that's what this is. But remember, in times of crisis, you do look to the federal government. You do look to the president of the United States to kind of put out there what they think is the right thing to do. So while the governors are really ordering citizens to do something, the president and the White House really need to be on the same page, because otherwise people just don't know what to do and find it very confusing.
Anita, there was another remarkable moment from the Rose Garden yesterday that kind of flew by a lot of people. It came when the president said that if only 100,000 people die, that will mean the administration did a good job. This came after Tony Fauci said in the morning that deaths could go as high as 100,000 to 200,000. He since reaffirmed that today. It seemed to some people like sort of a throwaway spin from the president, but defining down success to 100,000 people dead a couple of weeks after saying coronavirus would go away, that seems to me to have political implications.
Right. I mean, you could bet that that's probably going to come back and haunt him later politically, because obviously no death is a success, right? We want zero deaths, and we've already had more than 2,000. So I think what's happening with the president is he's starting to realize, particularly this weekend, as he made this decision to extend these guidelines, that he's starting to realize there are going to be deaths. There have been, and it's going to go up. We haven't reached the peak of this virus yet, and he's starting to get that realization. I think that this weekend, when he got those estimates from the experts, it really sort of impacted him. You talked about the Rose Garden. He mentioned a couple things that really struck him. He has obviously a friend he had mentioned who has this, and the person's in a coma, he mentioned. And also these things about the body bags in New York, where he used to live. I think he was really struck by some of those things.
On March 29th, the president was struck by some of those things and took a very serious note at the end of March. So a $2 trillion aid package was signed into law on Friday. People have heard a lot about this. There's checks coming to many Americans. There's $500 billion in direct aid to corporations. Now, Anita, the president over the weekend, he issued what's called a signing statement, saying he's going to ignore certain parts of this bill. What is the president saying here?
So there was one of the reasons that a lot of Democrats went along with this bill is because there was going to be accountability on the administration, particularly the Treasury Department. It would say that there was going to be an inspector general looking over what loans are given out by the Treasury Department. The Treasury has the bulk of the money here. You know, not the ones that are going to Americans, but loans to businesses. What money is going to businesses? And one of the reasons Democrats got on board is they said, oh, there'll be accountability. The Inspector General will be looking into this. And the president wrote that he doesn't think that's necessary, that it's not a requirement, but sort of optional. And it really, you know, you saw some people, some Democrats really say, well, what's going on here? This is, you know, Nancy Pelosi, I believe, said, you know, we expect nothing. We didn't expect anything different from the president, but that is one of the things that they really want. Now, obviously, you know, Congress has left town, but I think we're going to be hearing more and more about this as the money gets spent.
What does the law say? Does the law say there shall be this accountability oversight, or does it say may, or are we going to court?
Yeah, I mean, it might be one of those things that we go to court on. Remember, when presidents do these signing statements, and President Trump is not at all the first one to issue these statements where they kind of push back on something that Congress has done, you've got this two branches of government sort of fighting. You have Congress saying, well, we have these laws. The laws are ours to write, and they are correct. They write, the Congress writes the laws, but the president signs them into law. And so you've got two branches of government saying they disagree. And, you know, like so many things with the Trump administration and the Trump era, it probably will end up in court.
There are already members of Congress making early noises that another giant aid package is going to be necessary. Do we know what form people want that to take?
Yeah, I mean, so we've now, the Congress has passed three recovery bills. They are full speed ahead on the fourth one, but remember, they're not here yet. So I think they'll be talking amongst themselves, but not coming back to Washington for several weeks until, you know, till April. It's not just members of Congress, though. I've really been struck by states, governors saying that what happened with these other recovery bills is they dealt with the money needed to treat patients, so that are having coronavirus, but they don't deal with the states that are just losing revenue. So there's two problems there. Yes, the states do need money to help with patients, but they also need to, they've lost all these, you know, millions of dollars that just pay for regular services, right? The parks, the roads, all those things. They don't have the money to function anymore because the economy has gone down. And so that's what the states want this next stimulus bill to do.
In the meantime, there's emergency aid both in the bill that we're talking about, the third aid package, and in standard disaster relief that's already into law, coming from the federal government to the states. Now, President Trump also implied over the weekend that governors who are not nice to him could also see less money from the federal government as they try to combat the pandemic. Which governors might find themselves on the president's bad list here?
Right. It's a confusing thing because he'll say that basically threaten the governors, and then when you call him out on that, as several reporters did, he'll say, "Well, I didn't threaten anyone." The person that he's, you know, talked about several times now is the governor of Michigan, who's sort of an up and coming governor that's gotten some attention. She has a lot of cases in her state. But, you know, he's also talked how he's worked well sometimes with the governor of New York, but then doesn't understand why he's giving them so much, the state so much, and then they're still saying they need more. So, you know, he wants – oh, and he's also mentioned Washington State quite a lot, who the governor of Washington ran for the Democratic nomination for president, but got out quite quickly. So he's mentioned several Democratic governors. He's praised several Republican governors, and a lot of people are scratching their heads saying, really, this isn't a partisan issue.
Has there been any difference in dollars or equipment or aid so far? These fights that get picked, has it made a difference to the governor of Michigan so far?
You know, I haven't seen that it's, you know, that he's doing what he's going through with it. I mean, basically, every governor is saying right now, we don't have enough. Every governor that's really affected, you know, big states that are, you know, have a lot of cases are all saying it's not enough when we need more. And so I don't think that's a partisan thing at the moment. It's just that they're trying to deal with all these cases. And so, you know, Washington State has been a hot spot. Florida's also been a hot spot. New York's been a hot spot. So you've seen some of those governors say, we need more from the federal government. What you're giving us is fine, but it's not enough.
I have to say, I wasn't real surprised to see the president take shots at Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington State. Anita, I was a little surprised that he chose to publicly clash with Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Michigan is super, super important to whether Donald Trump stays president after next year. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I had two feelings about it. Yes, exactly right. Michigan's super important. It's a state that he needs to win. It was one of the key states in 2016. But remember, he has sort of picked a fight with her before. This is not the first time. This has been going on before coronavirus. So I wasn't surprised in that respect. She's a newcomer, up and comer. The Democrats have put her kind of out there, nationally, speaking on different things. And so he has kind of clashed with her before.
And so going forward, what's the biggest challenge for the White House now in this coming week? They obviously have a huge coordination role. The country's trying to ramp up testing. Can the White House get more consistent on its messaging, or are we still subject to the vagaries of the president's temper here?
Well, the president announced that on Tuesday he's going to go into more detail about these, what we're supposed to do for the next 30 days, these guidelines. Mm. So he did mention it this weekend, but he said on Tuesday, which is actually technically the deadline of his 15 days, he's going to announce more. So we'll see what they say. It's clear, though, now he's saying, we have 30 more days. So that's sort of what we're looking for. Does he stay consistent with that as he's gone back and forth so many times in the last week?
That's Anita Kumar of Politico, White House correspondent. Anita, thank you very much. Coming up, we're going to switch gears a little bit and convene for the 1A Movie Club, where we talk about a movie that's gone viral in more ways than one. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's 1A.